You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Thursday morning to you. Like, are you kidding me? Did you watch that, like, ridiculous nonsense in Washington, D.C. yesterday? To me, the question always is, like, what makes it stop? So the Speaker of the House yesterday uses the words cover up and essentially caves in to the members of her party that have been screaming to impeach Donald Trump, right? So she's been saying, you know, she came out very publicly, a couple months ago and said, yeah, not happening, right? Juice isn't going to be worth the squeeze. We have more important things to do. Blah, 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 blah. And so then the next thing you know, old Jed's a millionaire. That's right. Now I guess we're going to go the impeachment route. So she's doing the Watusi for her party, for the part of her party. Now what's interesting about that is, guess who was absent from the stage yesterday in all of that? Jay Biden. Okay? And the difference in his numbers and every other person's numbers who engages in all of that stuff are dramatic. So it's an interesting kind of look at the country that skews Democratic. Who they identify with, who they don't identify with, and those candidates, he in particular, you know, what he's involved with, what he's not involved with, and then the Watusi that, that Nancy Pelosi does. And so, but yesterday, I mean, at some point, it just gets stupid, right? I mean, it gets beyond stupid. And that's what you saw yesterday, right? You saw beyond stupid. And, I said yesterday, I'm not sympathetic to him as a human being because I don't know if he could tell the truth if his life depended on it. But to me, done the investigation, right? The whole foundation of the investigation was collusion. We don't hear too much about that anymore. Okay? And now we're going to redo the investigation in Congress. So I guess people see, so that's going to be the moneymaker, yay? Well, it better be. It better be, because you're hitching your wagon to it. So his finances, his taxes, all that. Now, to me, though, what I'm most curious about, and I said it yesterday, and I'll say it again today, I'm most curious to see what the Attorney General finds out as he investigates. Where did all this come from? Who was responsible for this? And let me tell you, that is, to me, what will be truly illustrative of how sick our democracy is and how it really works when you're really trying to win. Right? How it really works. So I hope the Attorney General, I hope he pulls the curtain back on that and says, okay, here's what we have found. This person made this stuff up, right? They handed it to this person. You have, here's where Nellie Orr comes in. Here's where Bruce Orr comes in. Here's where Peter Strzok and Lisa Page come in. Here's where James Comey comes in. Here's where Ron Rosenstein comes in, right? Here's where the FISA application comes in. Here's how this was adjudicated. These are the people involved in it. I hope he lays the whole thing out so that we can either know that people put their hand on the scale of justice, right? And really on the scale of politics in this country. And that's what they're supposed to not touch the scale of justice. Right? And certainly never the hand of politics. But if you watch the way Comey did his thing, man, he's a huge game player in the whole thing. And I mean, you think about all the stuff that was done. Loretta Lynch meeting with the husband, who cares if he's a former president, of somebody that she has in the crosshairs to possibly investigate. I mean, how stupid is that? I mean, you look at all the stuff, and to me, it's like the consternation I feel when I'm agreeing with Sean Hannity, you know, all this talk of the deep state and all the rest of this stuff. And I hate when there's elements of truth to what he says. So anyway, and there is. So I hate, though, when I'm finding myself in agreement with that. Makes me uneasy. So what about the important work in front of our Congress? I mean, when does the election stop, right? When does the election stop? And the answer is it never does. The election cycle is now 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. The whole world either posturing for a primary or the whole world posturing for ultimately the election and nothing getting done. So yesterday was just, it's just, you're watching it play out live, right? You're watching it play out live. And it's not going to stop today. Nancy Pelosi's about to speak, so she's going to let it rip. And guess what? He lives by the rule. If you don't fire back, people accept what they said is truth. So, and you know what? And he'll do it all day long. What about the work that's in front of our Congress? And it's just, I don't know, it's just discouraging. And again, back to my original question, what changes it? I don't see anything out there that changes it. The elements of the issue are there's part media, part money, and then the politicians who are bouncing around in that sea of media, money, and power. Never, ever seems to be a good place. So, anyway, so that on my mind. Memorial Day on my mind. I'm not sure what I'm going to do. I've got a retirement party to go to on Friday night. Lieutenant Colonel Rich Elaine, who was one of our air officers in Afghanistan, He retires. Just gave up command of his squadron, his F-18 squadron down in Miramar, I don't know, maybe a month ago. And so he will retire. So going to go to a party on Friday night. Looking forward to it. Except party starts at 6:30. Heading down to San Diego on a 3-day or 4-day Memorial Day weekend. Yeah, that's where I'm headed, towards San Diego. San Diego backs up at like San Clemente, which is, what, 60 miles away? 70 miles away? Yeah, no bueno, man. No bueno on a Friday, so I'm not exactly sure how that's going to turn out. So, got that going on, and, but other than that, no big plans. Stay away from the TV, probably, I don't know, find something to do. So, but not going out of town, not doing any of that. Actually, I'll probably work, and I've taken to writing again. So I have to write a book that is about what post-traumatic winning is about. So I have to publish at some point a book about it. So I'll do that. So I've taken to writing again. And I think the book's already written in my head. I mean, it's in fact what I do. So I'll probably spend the hours doing that. And, that'll be Memorial Day. But I don't have as yet anything patriotic I'm attending or doing. So, and you know, honestly, I would say it surprises me the scarcity of those kind of events. When you look in your paper where they are and who's doing them, there's not that many of them. So, but anyway, so that's going on. Today on the program, Jeff Kenny, Tim Lynch will join us. And you'll get to hear that. And we'll talk about peer-to-peer war. So I've been having this discussion with myself and reading, and I did a battlefield study. I recorded that yesterday afternoon. You'll hear that next Tuesday when we come back from the holiday. It is the PFC's view of the fighting around Khon Tien and Khe San in 1967, 1968. And very graciously, retired Marine Corps gunner Tim Galinas, he gave up his time yesterday and talked about what it was like to be a PFC in and around Khe San, in and around Khon Tien. And so it's interesting. There's a bunch of cool maps that'll be in as is always the case in the battlefield study. But a PFC, you know. And so did that. And so that was kind of fresh in my head when last night we recorded the Lynch and Kenny segment. And so I asked them, where did North Vietnam, where did North Vietnam shake out on the spectrum relative? Was it did they consider it a peer, or did they consider it a near peer? Where would you place the North Vietnamese Army? And so we'll talk about that. And then the next question was, for each of them, what breaks squelch when they look at the last time the Marine Corps fought a near peer? Both of them are pretty well read. Tim's dad and uncle fought in Vietnam, so he grew up with it in his house and reading about it. And then Jeff is just smart about everything. So you'll get to hear that today. And always interesting and funny. And the Lynch Kenny Hour. And then tomorrow, the chef, we already have the menu for tomorrow. The chef is going to talk about stuffed mushrooms, how to do great stuffed mushrooms. When I say mushrooms, I don't mean little small kind of pot belly. I don't even know what you call those things. I mean portobello mushroom, big ones, so that, you know, whether you put, you know, crab and seafood in them, which I know we're going to talk about, whether you put vegetables and some cheese and onions in there, you know, all the different things that you can do with a portobello mushroom, the chef is going to talk about. So, yeah, exactly. We're also going to talk about, since we're talking about stuffed mushrooms, we're going to talk about stuffed jalapenos. And really what you can do with, whether it be a jalapeno or a green pepper or whatever device you want to use, red peppers, what you can do with those things. So chef's already fired up for that. So anyway, I talked to him yesterday afternoon. So all that's going on. We will check the news. Nancy Pelosi, is back at a podium. So expect the President of the United States to take to one here, within the hour. Yeah, I kid you not. I'll keep you informed, but I'll be the most surprised person on the planet if the President of the United States is not in front of a camera here shortly, refuting everything that she has to say. So anyway, Nancy Pelosi's in an interesting spot. She knows that her party's skewing too far to the left and it's not going to be elected. And she's tried to fight it, but guess what? She's losing. Because all the air, except for Joe Biden, gets sucked out of the room by the hot air machines, and they're all socialists. And the country's not buying it. And as I said a little bit earlier, there's no greater evidence than look at the polls. Right? Joe Biden hardly has even campaigned or been around. And when he is, he's not. Oh my God, it's painful to watch. You know what? When I see Joe Biden, you know what I see? It's like he's trying to be the coolest guy in the room, right? He's got his sunglasses on, right? He's got his hair slicked back. He looks perfect. He looks like James Bond, right? He's got his like $400 Brooks Brothers shirt on, right? But it's rolled up at the sleeves because he's a blue-collar kind of guy. He's a blue-collar kind of guy. And he gets up there, and he's just like the personification of cool. And then he opens his mouth, and it's just like painful. Just that. What did Don Adams say when he was Get Smart? What was he, Agent 00? He was Agent. I can't remember. I can't remember what number Don Smart was. No, Don Adams on Get Smart. 009 was his girlfriend, wasn't it? So I don't know. I don't know what he was. But anyway, painful, right? Painful. But he used to say, missed it by that much. He used to say that all the time. Because he would do things that didn't quite work out the way they were supposed to. That's what Joe Biden reminds me of, right? I mean, meticulously dressed, you know, he's a suave dog, debonair guy, and touching people when he's not supposed to, then making jokes about touching people when he's not supposed to, and you're just cringing going, Joe, man, tone deaf or just straight up deaf? And I'm all right with that because I got my own hearing issues, but you look at his numbers, man, he's polling like 40% and he's not even trying yet. And everybody else has got zero. Bernie Sanders is, what, 13? And everybody else got, you know, less than 10%. So what does that tell you about what the Democratic Party is starving for? Right? Not so much Bernie, not so much AOC. Now, that'll get you the big party liberals, no doubt. The big city liberals, no doubt. But guess what? Can't win with them. You gotta get to the Midwest and you gotta win some of those folks and you're not gonna win them like that. So, anyhow. The state of our country, man, it's painful. I'm not gonna lie to you. Alright? I'm not gonna lie to you. So, how do we go someplace good? How do we do the right thing? How do people stand up and do the right thing? And the answer, when you look at Washington DC and your TV, is that it looks like it's impossible. It looks like it's impossible. What would have been responsible? Well, I think that if I were king, right, and Donald Trump got elected president of the United States, and I heard the things that I had heard, I would have said, okay, I need a bipartisan group to get together and I need you all to investigate, and I want a preliminary report about what you find, and I'm going to give you a grand total of 60 days to do that, okay? And I want your preliminary report, and then I'll decide, okay? And so I get the preliminary report back, and they say, okay, here's what we know. And then I say, okay, we're going to have twin investigations going, and I'm going to give you 90 days to conclude both of them. One, I want to know, I want to get to the bottom of where this stuff came from, because what I see, what you've reported to me is murky at best. I want it footnoted and documented where this stuff came from. I want to know who spread it. I want to know who got it from who. And I want to know who paid for it. So I want to know the root of this whole thing. And I need to know, right? We need to validate whether there was collusion or not. All right, so everybody's got 90 days to come back. And both groups are going to be bipartisan. Got it? Because we're interested in doing the right thing. But when you're not interested in doing the right thing, when what you're most interested in doing is making political steam, then it is what it is. It is the theater of the absurd, right? It is the new version of the Gong Show. Yeah, Chuck Barris, I apologize to you for throwing your show under the bus. But, I mean, what we watched yesterday, good God, man. Good God. All it is the theatrics of positioning for an upcoming election. It's not about the truth. It's not about what's right. It's not about what's important. Now, everybody's going to say it is, but we all know better because we're not stupid. All right, so the United States Marine Corps ban makes the morning official here on a Thursday, the 23rd day of May. If you're getting your boat ready, if you're getting your car ready, if you're getting your family ready to head someplace for the weekend, by all means, leave early, take your time, and drive defensively, and be safe. All right, be safe. So, especially if you're, well, everybody tends to like to do adventure stuff, right? Over the Memorial Day weekend. Let's go to the lake. We'll get the boat out. We'll go to the river. We will go to, where else do we go? We go to the desert. Yeah. So remember, dead is dead. Okay. I know your kids are at school. All right. Mine is. So I know they're not in the car, but dead is dead. Be careful about that. All right. You don't get a do-over on stuff like that. So if you're an adventure person, be careful. All right. United States Marine Corps ban makes today official. Good morning. Dedicated to everybody that's going someplace for Memorial Day. Drive safe. I'm going to play a whole series of great programs. There'll be some battle studies. There'll be some post-traumatic winning stuff. So if you're bored and you're looking for something to listen to that's going to be both inspiring and interesting, don't be afraid to flip it over to All Marine Radio. So I promise you it will not disappoint, but travel safely. This is dedicated to you. And again, with a reminder, what is your one job? Your one job is at some point during the course of the weekend, in front of your children and or your grandchildren or just your friends who you gather with, make sure you remind everybody what this weekend is all about. It is not Veterans Day. It is not the day that we honor those serving on active duty around the world. That's a different day, right? We just did Armed Forces Weekend. Okay. This weekend's about honoring people who made the ultimate sacrifice for this country and remembering their families who live with that sacrifice every day. And some small gesture on your part, if you know those people, reaching out and saying, you're in my thoughts and your my prayers. If there's anything you need, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all you have to do is pick up the phone and let me know. You don't even have to pick the phone up. You could text me. Yeah, because I'm that kind of person. So this is dedicated to everybody who's getting ready to celebrate Honor Memorial Day. Be safe out there and do your part.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me. I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Time for us to check the news. Let me read you an email. It made me laugh. Mac, you know that D. Trump is standing around watching Nancy Pelosi bloviate. And then in parentheses, which is something she's really not that good at. You know he's standing there, right, teeing up the Twitter machine. And looking at his age, deciding whether he will walk out onto the driveway or someplace and go ahead and let it rip. Stand by. I agree. That's what you're doing. All right, so here's a question. Let's see. She just walked away from the podium. It's 0833 Pacific time. All right, let me write that down. Question is, how long till D. Trump responds? All right, so I'm going to write the time down. 0833. Okay. Somebody let me know any tweets. I tend not to watch that stuff. I never look at Twitter. You know, the only time I actually do look at Twitter is when there's breaking news. And as I've told you before, that is a place that I go when you want to see it happen live, when it's actually happening. That's the way you do it. So now we're gonna play reindeer games. So how do we get to, so where does the truth come from? Well, we heard Mueller, right? We heard Mueller's version, right? No collusion, but he messed around during the investigation, not conclusive whether he obstructed or not. Okay. All right. So that's that. What's the other piece of data that we need? We need what Barr's doing now. And then we can all make up our own minds, I guess. So, anyway. But, you know, let me tell you, and the headline that I saw was that Pelosi said the president pulled a stunt yesterday. Did he have her say that he was involved in a cover-up right before the meeting? Was that part of the stunt? I'm confused here. Oh, no, that's not part of the stunt. That's something she did. That was her stunt. So again, to me, there's equal opportunity for both sides to behave like idiots, and trust me, they don't disappoint, man. They don't disappoint. But again, I don't think the American public is near that, right? Because Joe Biden isn't near that. Joe Biden is not in with the Democratic Party as it exists today. He's way too conservative. Yeah, he might have to run as an independent. Yeah, because they're not having it. AOC, she's not having it. Yeah, she's not having it. So, and if she's not having it, that means her borough in Brooklyn isn't having it. Her precinct in Brooklyn or her district in wherever the hell she represents, Brooklyn, the Bronx, whatever it is, Queens, right? It means they're not having it either. But that means liberal America. Interesting story in the New York Times today, of all places, saying that liberal Democrats are ruining the big cities around the country. that nobody can afford to live in them anymore. Yeah. Yeah. You heard me right. In the New York Times. Yikes. All right, let me check the weather here now that the music has run out. Currently, partly cloudy and 77 in Quantico. It is mostly sunny and 81 at Camp Lejeune in North Carolina. 29 Palms, clouds and 56. What the hell? At Camp Pendleton, it is cloudy and 58. At Camp Smith in Hawaii, it is dark still. A few clouds and 75 degrees. Okinawa continues its cooling trend, but it's clear in Okinawa, 69 degrees. In the Alambar province, where it's been busted 100, it has continued its warming trend. It is sunny and 98 degrees right now in the Alambar province. And in the Helmand province of Afghanistan, that's cooled down a little bit. It is clear, dark, and 79 right now in the city of Marja in Afghanistan. Big farm in town, Marja. What do they farm? Poppy. At the home of All Marine Radio, the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area of Southern California, that's cold. Yeah, check this shit out. Today, well, first of all, it's cloudy and 59. The wind chill sits at 58. Yeah, just so you know. All right, so today, partly sunny, 10% chance of rain. What? And a high of 64. Friday, sunny and 69. Saturday, partly sunny and 67. Like, what the hell? This is May. This is almost June, and we're sitting in the mid-60s in Southern California. Yeah. That is not right. That is not right. That is not right. That is not right. In fact, it is wrong. All right, we'll check the news here, and then the Lynch Kenny event comes up at the top of the hour. Stand by. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it. The one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt. Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you. And we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I want to walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and hope in me.
This just in. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, Republican from California. What? They exist? They do. Speak amid standoff between Trump and the Democrats. Here it comes.
Yeah, let it all out.
All right, time for us to check some news headlines. As painful as it may be. As painful it may as it may be. Here's another email. Mac, why would you insult Chuck Barris's artwork, The Gong Show? Come on, that thing was awesome. I do believe it was one of the first to simply let Americans come on and show how stupid they are, and it was a gigantic hit. A precursor of reality TV? I think so. Whoa. All right, now we're going to do a deep dive on The Gong Show?
Without any questions, run into danger.
No, we're not deep diving on The Gong Show. Sorry there, sports fan.
Wipe your lips off my pain. But right now it's just me. Alone on this earth. So I'm gonna stand here and
hey, just for everybody out there that deals with it, you know, it's okay to hurt on Memorial Day, right? I mean, a bunch of us fake it. And if you're not in the mood to fake it well, it's all right. It's all right. Don't worry about it. You're normal.
I want to lay in a church pew, staring up at Jesus before.
All right, headlines from Stars and Stripes. Faced with relentless American pressure, Iran starts to hit back. Iran has made a dramatic shift in how it confronts the United States, abandoning policy of restraint in recent weeks for a series of offensive actions aimed at pushing the White House to rethink its efforts at isolating Tehran, say diplomats and analysts. Pretty interesting, right? Pretty interesting that somehow or other Iran is going to bully the United States into changing the way that we deal with Iran. Certainly interesting. Right. Certainly interesting if you want to go down that go down that road. Right. This is in the Washington Post. That's actually from the Washington Post. Written by Tamir L. Gobashi and Liz Sly. That's a cool name, Liz Sly. Hi, I'm Liz Sly. L-I-Z-S-L-Y. Uh-oh, Kevin McCarthy. Let's see, it's 8:47. Kevin McCarthy's at the podium. So that was a, 14-minute turnaround? No word from D-Trump. No word from D-Trump yet, or at least I haven't seen it. So, and I'm not watching Twitter, but anyway. With the Trump administration tightening economic sanctions and intensifying military pressure, Iran is now seeking to highlight the costs it could also impose on the United States, for instance, by disrupting the world's oil supply, without taking actions likely to trigger an all-out war. When four ships were damaged in the Persian Gulf last week, including two Saudi tankers and an Emirati one, U.S. and Arabian officials said they suspected Iran and had ordered the sabotage. A Lebanese newspaper supportive of Iran's ally, Hezbollah, boasted that the attacks were a message from Tehran via the UAE and Saudi mailboxes. And after a Katyusha rocket landed within a mile of the U.S. embassy complex in Baghdad on Sunday, suspicion immediately turned to Iranian-backed militias in Iraq. Senior Iraqi officials warned Iran against using their territory to target the United States and its interests. Iranian leaders condemned those incidents and denied responsibility, but diplomats and analysts say they bear Iran's signature and are part of an emerging strategy in response to the crippling sanctions the Trump administration placed on Iran after unilaterally withdrawing from the landmark nuclear deal a year ago. Particularly galling for Iran was the U.S. decision this spring not to renew waivers for eight countries, allowing them to import Iranian oil despite the sanctions. So when this thing gets serious, right? You know, and this is what's interesting about when you read these stories, right, about policy and the way we do it. So we set the policy in place, and then what do? We back away from it. That's right. We back away from it. And we make it easy for them. All right, well, you know, it reminds me of what my grandmother said. When God closes the door, he opens the window. So when we do policy and we slam the door shut here, we crack a window because we really don't want to make it too excruciating on you, and that's the way we do it. Right? Kind of interesting. Quote, "It is absolutely not surprising if we see Iran start flexing its muscles in the region where it has a pretty strong hand and it has the potential to exact the cost on the U.S. and its allies in the region," says Ali Zayas, an Iranian expert with the International Crisis Group. So we'll see what happens. But top story in Stars and Stripes today is about Iran. Number two story, U.S. body armor found with remains of Korean War dead in the DMZ. Search teams have found 321 pieces of bone and nearly 23,000 items from soldiers who died during the fierce battles in what would later become the DMZ since April 1. Now, the question is this going to be allowed to continue, or is this going to go the way of the dinosaur as the negotiations between the United States and North Korea have bogged down? We will see. Film at 11, right?
Right.
The Pentagon announced earlier this month that it had given up hope on resuming joint U.S.-North Korean searches for remains this year amid a diplomatic stalemate over efforts to persuade Pyongyang to give up its nuclear weapons. But South Korea has pushed forward with efforts to recover the remains of troops killed in the DMZ during the 1950-1953 war, which ended with an armistice instead of a peace treaty. The search area, known as Arrowhead Ridge or Hill 281, was the site of fierce battles as American, French, and South Korean soldiers fought to repel Chinese forces trying to invade from the north. But it has long been in the no-go buffer zone that has been lined with barbed wire and landmines since the war ended. And then it gives just an example of one piece of equipment. It's a gas mask, believed to be of Chinese origin. So there's anyway, that in the news today. Also, next story, Stars and Stripes. Duplications, misspelling, and miscounts found in new study of the Vietnam Wall. After checking and rechecking available databases, Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund officials took a master list of the memorial and checked it against the names on the wall. Question, what do you think they found? Gonna be a shocker, I know. Gonna be a shocker. You know, but think about when they did this, right? It wasn't like, you know, when the Vietnam Wall was built in the 80s, I mean, it wasn't like, you know, they had databases and computers to check everything and all the rest of that stuff, eh? Yeah, they didn't have that stuff. So, I mean, they put on the wall what people gave them. One soldier is represented on the Vietnam Veterans Memorial three different times. 13 others are etched there twice. Scores of names have been misspelled and corrected. Others have been misspelled and not corrected. And the names of at least 25 others who survived the war were mistakenly etched on the hollowed black monument to the Vietnam dead in Washington. These and other errors made over 37 years turned up in an exhaustive four-year study of the wall recently completed by the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund, which oversees the wall, its officials said on Wednesday. And the review concluded that the wall bears 58,390 names. Those names represent 58,276 people. Jim Knotts, president of the fund, said the organization wanted to know exactly how each name was inscribed on the wall and compared that with the various databases of information of those killed in the war. The memorial, dedicated in 1982, commemorates more than 50,000 Americans who perished in the Vietnam conflict. Knotts said the fund wanted to develop state-of-the-art digital database of the wall's dead to create a new traveling replica of the wall. The replica traverses the country to be seen by those who cannot visit the wall. That's pretty cool. I mean, it's almost a virtual copy of it, although, right, the height increases of the tablets because they're not going to dredge the ground where they put up the portable version. So if you've never seen it, it's pretty cool. The old metal replica has now been replaced by one made of synthetic granite. We needed to know exactly what's on the wall, warts, errors, and all. Tim Tells, the fund's director of outreach, who headed the review, said, "We literally had to be down there looking at it nose to nose with the wall. Many names have been added over the years. Some names were marked with a small cross to denote people who were missing in action. If their remains are recovered, the crosses are changed to a diamond. The names of 9 missing men whose remains have been recently recovered will be unveiled and read on the wall, at the wall on Memorial Day." After checking and rechecking available databases, fund officials took a master list to the memorial and checked it against the names on the wall. They then built an accurate database of what was on the wall, Tell said. They knew the longest name on the wall was Rodrigo Velasquez Feliciano, an Army staff sergeant from Penuelas, Puerto Rico, who died on March 3, 1968. They knew the shortest name on the wall was that of Ben Coy, an Army specialist from Houston, who was 19 when he was killed on June 20th, 1967. PFC Ned Lee, 24, of Flagstaff, Arizona, was killed on February 8th, 1968. They noted that the case of Army Corporal Rodney Helsell, who was killed on March 11, 1970, his name was carved on the wall in 1982. But nearby, the name Rodney Heisel was also etched. In 1989, the Memorial Fund was directed to add Rodney Heisel, reasoning that the name had been misspelled Heisel. Telt said no one had noticed that it was already there correctly a few inches away. So it goes through the mistakes of the Viet. So what did they do? Are they going to ever correct it? So, doesn't say in the article. So, a little interesting trivia from the Vietnam Wall here on as Memorial Day approaches. Navy again had the utter boldness to sail two ships, not to sail, to send two ships through the 90-mile Taiwan Straits between mainland China and Formosa, which China has never really owned in their existence, but now claims. Go figure. So, that in the news. The USO, my favorite, one of my favorite organizations on the planet, it has outgrown. It has outgrown its building in Italy. Its historic Rome Center, which is occupied for decades. Since the Allies entered the city 75 years ago, is now too small. There you have it. All right, we'll take a quick look at Marine Corps headlines, and then we'll take a break, and then Messrs. Lynch and Kenny will join me. Yeah, this the whole, like, the Taiwan Strait. Like, what's next? The Pacific Ocean's off limits? Sorry, this belongs to us. Yeah, ain't happen. We're not having it. It's a joke. Honestly, the Chinese are a joke. They're gonna lord their demand and your access to their country that can make you profitable over the world to refashion it in China's desire. It's from Taipei, Taiwan. A ministry statement says the ships passed through from south to north on Wednesday without incident. China, which claims Taiwan as territory, that's like the United States claiming Greenland as its territory, complained last month about a French ship entering Chinese territorial waters as it passed through the straits. If the free nations of the world don't do this, that's a bad thing, right? China maintains a more ambiguous boundary than defined by international treaty and has asserted a claim to virtually the entire South China Sea, which is the Nine Dash Line, which is contiguous with the Taiwan Strait. So, again, the theater of the absurd, which China does. You know, China does its own version of the Emperor's New Clothes on a regular basis. in a story that is all over the news today, that is, American Taliban, John Walker Lynn, to be released from prison after nearly two decades. Now, this story caught, remember when this bozo was yoked up in Afghanistan? Supposedly, right, the story goes, right, he converts to Islam as a teenager after seeing the movie Malcolm X. Yeah, Ben Lunick, you know, wanted to join the Coast Guard after he saw a movie. Movies, man. Unbelievable. So anyway, he sees Malcolm X. He converts to Islam. He goes overseas to study Arabic and the Quran. He's in Pakistan. He makes his way to Afghanistan. He joins the Taliban. He's with them on September 11th. when the U.S. attacked Afghanistan after the country failed to turn over Osama bin Laden, he's captured in a battle with Northern Alliance fighters in 2001. He was present when a group of Taliban prisoners launched an attack that killed Mike Spann, a CIA officer who was interrogating both Lin and other Taliban prisoners. So anyway, he is supposed to be getting out of prison, and he's going to get out early, in spite of the fact that he continues to support, right, the conversion of the world by violence. The Bureau of Prisons said Lin rejected an interview request submitted by the Associated Press, and his lawyer declined to comment. But there have been reports that Lin's behavior in prison has created cause for concern. Foreign Policy magazine reported in 2017 that an investigation by the National Counterterrorism Center found that Lin, quote, continued to advocate for global jihad and to write and translate violent extremist texts. A former inmate who knew Lin from the time they spent in the same federal prison said he never heard Lin espouse support for al-Qaeda or indicate a risk of violence, but he found Lin to be antisocial and awkward around others with an unyielding black-and-white view of religion. The inmate spoke to the Associated Press on a condition of anonymity. So he gets out today, right? Another victim in all this. A confused bozo dropped on his head at birth, right, who winds up in the crosshairs of history, right? And like, who's the guy who got no jail time, who walked off post? That guy who made me say the F word so many times in 1 hour. That dude, man. He's another victim of it all. Nobody's really responsible for their own behavior. That is such a old-fashioned idea, Mac. You need to get over that. All right, top five stories in Early Bird real quick. One, Shanahan's gag rule memo nets bipartisan backlash. This is kind of an interesting little story about the Pentagon sharing information. Isn't that what they're supposed to do? The top Democrat and Republican of the House Armed Service Committee said Wednesday they will act against Acting Secretary of Defense Patrick Shanahan's new restrictions on how the Pentagon tells Congress about international military operations. Adam Smith, who's a Democrat from the state of Washington, and the ranking minority member, Mac Thornberry, who's a Republican from Texas, said in a statement that they will use the 2020 defense policy bill to address the restrictions that would, quote, dramatically limit Congress's ability to execute our constitutional prerogative. Quote, Congress oversees the Department of Defense, but with this new policy, the department is overstepping its authority by presuming to determine what warrants legislative oversight, both Smith and Thornberry said. It's pretty interesting, right? In a May 8th internal memo, Shanahan laid out the criteria for when Pentagon officials may provide congressional offices or committees information they request about operational plans and order. It outlines a half dozen guidelines through which military officials may share information with Congress. We're talking about operational plans and operational orders. Does Congress have oversight over that, operational plans and orders? I thought their job is the decision to fund it, the decision to agree or disagree whether it should happen or not. I thought that's what they did. No? Number two, lawmakers bristle at new rules for sharing Pentagon information with Congress, is from the Washington Post. So you can see, right? And to me, rightly so, right? So what information is the organization that does oversight being prohibited from hearing, and why? So I need to do a deep dive on that. So I'm not ready to do that yet. Number three, SEAL defense claims prosecution withheld information from judge about email spying. The trial, the court-martial of Navy Chief Edward Gallagher, who's incarcerated at Miramar, is now being consumed by this allegation that tracking software was embedded into emails sent by the prosecution. Yeah. So some genius said, I'll get to the bottom of who's leaking this information. Well done. Well done. That will serve as the basis of his pardon or the charges to be thrown out, saying that he can't get a fair trial. Mark my words. Number four, pardons for convicted and accused war criminals could harm commanders' influence, former military lawyers warn. You know what? If the president pardons people that are clearly guilty and does not allow the process to go forward, to me, it's like, are we now going to play politics that deep into the military and what the military does? And I guess the answer to that is yes. Should that surprise me? The answer to that is no. Because evidently there's nothing now that is off limits to what we do, if it will get us a few points in a poll. So, it's amazing, honestly. And so, the President of the United States, stupid. Number five, Al-Qaeda elements are seen as in parts of Afghanistan. It's no surprise. U.S. NATO forces commander in Afghanistan, General Scott Miller, said that there are some indications that the movements of Al-Qaeda elements in parts of Afghanistan, but gave no details about the nature of those movements. So, all right, we're going to take a break on that. On that uplifting little story, we're going to take a break. So, more of All Marine Radio coming up next, the Lynch and Kenny Hour. Don't touch that dial. Trust me, you don't want to miss this. No, I mean, if you joined us a little bit late, what you're going to hear is the three of us talking about did they consider the North Vietnamese to be a peer, a near peer? How did they, I mean, both of them are well-read guys. Now, Tim grew up with Vietnam in and around them because of his dad and uncle having fought in Vietnam. So he knew about it and learned about it. And then Jeff is just smart about all kinds of stuff. So did they consider the North Vietnamese Army to be a peer, a near peer? Where would they categorize them? So you'll hear that. And then relative to peer-to-peer combat, which is much in the news these days, right? Pivoting to the Pacific, right? That means we're going to go fight, locate, close with, and destroy the Chinese, yay? And then the Russians up in Norway, 2nd Marine Division up there, romping around doing their thing. We're going to locate, close with, and destroy those guys. Well, what is peer combat like? What kind of casualties should people expect? What's the fighting like? Well, again, starting with the Battle of Gitlin's Corner, I got introduced kind of to the stories of the battles of 1967, 1968 in and around Leatherneck Square and Contien. And I got introduced to that by a battlefield study I did on Gitlin's Corner. And what I found, and the reason why it intrigues me, is the severity of the combat was unbelievable. Yeah. So, to include, I think, the bloodiest single day, in the war in Vietnam was during Operation Buffalo. I want to say it was either 84 or 89 Marines were killed in a single day. Yeah, Alpha and Bravo Company, 1st Battalion, 9th Marines. So we talk about that, you know, and so what breaks squelch for you when both of them think of that period and that kind of, whatever they call it, near peer or peer fighting or something else, you'll have to listen to them. what breaks squelch for them? What do they think is significant? So you'll find it enjoyable. You'll find it interesting, not enjoyable. Well, you'll find it enjoyable too. So don't touch that dial. And then let me just tease a little bit about what's coming up. So over the weekend, if you're out and about and you want something to listen to, Battlefield Studies, Post-Traumatic Winning, you're going to hear throughout the weekend, to include Monday. On Tuesday, Battlefield Study, United States Marine Corps, one of the first gunners went after General Gray brought back the program is Tim Galinas. And Gunner Galinas, he's going to join us. He was a PFC at Contien, at Quezon. He joined 1st Battalion, 26 Marines, after the payback. Yeah, the payback attack. And so you'll hear him talk about that a little bit. And you'll hear him talk about the M16 rifle, what it was like to get that piece of junk. You'll hear what it was like to be a PFC in these places, what the terrain was like, how they lived. So, I mean, we've done most of the battlefield studies have been from a relatively senior rank, well, from corporal on up. And in Vietnam, that was pretty senior. And so so you'll hear it from a little bit different. You'll hear it from a little bit different perspective. So that'll be on Tuesday. On Wednesday, you're going to hear General Halleck do the second installment of On Discipline. So you'll hear that. And then on Thursday, we'll do Lynch and Kinney. And then on Friday, we'll do the chef. And then the following week, Alex will join us, and then we're going to do Spouses React to Post-Traumatic Winning, another installment of that. So some awesome shows coming up in the next couple weeks, so keep it right here on your home for it. That's right, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network. So whatever you do, don't touch that dial. All right, with all that said, more of All Brain Radio coming up next.